Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I wish I had taken down some notes. I wish I had written down not only the full quote, but also where the quote came from and who was responsible for this quote. So, of course, this past Sunday was Father's Day. And you know, was at church on Father's Day Sunday. And our pastor shared a great quote. And he was talking about fatherhood and the importance of fatherhood, kind of similar to remarks that were made by Florida Congressman Byron Donalds, the black Republican congressman out of Florida, who is apparently on the short list to be Donald J. Trump's VP candidate. Byron Donalds was talking about the importance of the family and talking about how you know, the Democrat Party, when they brought in the government, how they destroyed families, and you know, the government started replacing churches in these inner cities, and then that started the breakdown of the families, and how, you know, inner city and urban families and black families were you know, there was less divorce, there was less breakups of the family. You know, prior to basically the ushering in of the welfare state and this modern day sharecropping system. And of course, the liberal media started attacking Florida Congressman Byron Donalds. But anyway, you know, and I made this point earlier this week on this show that, you know, this problem, this challenge that Byron Donalds is talking about in the black community, the increasing fatherlessness and the rise in divorce in recent decades, et cetera, that, of course, that's not just a challenge for the black community. It's a challenge for all of America, regardless of the racial or ethnic makeup right now. But this was the quote that our pastor had shared, who's a really neat guy. He's a Korean-American. His parents had escaped North Korea. So he takes this whole freedom thing very seriously. But this was the gist of the quote that he had shared. There's two ways to measure power. And I think this concept and this quote not only applies to fathers and fatherhood, but I think it also applies to you know, world affairs, international affairs, foreign policy, and issues on the world stage right now. The quote was something to the effect of, there are two ways to measure power. You see it at work, right? So you see power being exercised. You see power at work. The other way you can measure power is you see its absence. And so obviously he was talking about fatherhood and the increasing fatherlessness in America and how you can see the power of a father by the absence of a father, and how that's caused so many problems all across America, right? But I think when you apply this also to foreign policy, national security, there's two ways to measure power. You see it at work. You see strong borders. You see a strong military. You see peace through strength. And you see the absence of power. A war in Ukraine. The potential World War III, an invasion on our southern border. Anyway, we'll talk more about that after this.
Securing America.
As Russian President Vladimir Putin visits North Korea, American officials continue to warn about the dangers of those two countries' increased cooperation. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder says the alignment
is something that should be of concern, especially to anyone that's interested in maintaining peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula.
Upon his arrival in North Korea, Putin referenced the U.S. when he pledged support for the Koreans, quote, in their opposition to the insidious, dangerous, and aggressive enemy. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
This is something we have been warning about for some time.
Jean-Pierre adding that
DPRK's provision of weapons to Russia has helped enable Russia's brutal war in Ukraine.
General Ryder says the U.S. focus when it comes to the Korean Peninsula
is on working with allies and partners to promote peace, stability, and security in the region.
Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Coming up next week on the show, we're taking the show out on the road. We're going to be live from Missoula on Monday, Kalispell on Tuesday, then Great Falls, then Butte, then in Billings for the Friday, wrapping up the week. So for this week, we're going to try to keep the phone lines open for you as much as possible. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk, whether we're in studio or out on the road. We open up the microphones and the phones for you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, there were a couple of segments on CNN, oddly, that kind of triggered this this thought for this topic to come up this morning here. Maybe you got something that's triggered a thought or a comment for you this morning as well. Well, we've got the phone lines open for the next 2 hours here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Just give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on our Montana Talks app. But yeah, going back to this thought, there are two ways to measure power. You see it at work, or you see its absence. You know, our pastor on Father's Day was using it as a reference to the importance of fathers in the homes. And on Mother's Day, you can talk about the power of a mother in the home, or the power of the absence of a mother in a home, right? In a similar fashion. But you think about it. What's been a big story in the news in parts of Montana? The Mexican drug cartels targeting our communities with fentanyl and meth and drugs. And then, of course, we've seen simultaneously this youth gang violence in places like Billings, Hardin, some of our reservations in particular. And so often, what did we hear from local experts when it came to youth gang violence? The absence of that power in the home, the absence of a father in a home. And then look at this invasion on our southern border. What are we seeing? The absence of power on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The absence of power in our nation's capital. The failure, the lack of desire to use this American power to provide that strength to protect our country on the southern border. What are we seeing in the Middle East? The absence of American leadership. And then you wonder why we had the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. You wonder why we're on the brink of World War III. What did we see? Two ways to measure power. You see it at work. The power we saw at work with Donald J. Trump as president of the United States was power that prevented the invasion of Ukraine. But then we saw the absence of power with the Joe Biden, John Tester regime, and then we saw an invasion of Ukraine. And we saw America's enemies seize on this weakness. We saw the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. So again, there's two ways to measure power. You see it at work, and you see its absence. I just had a distraction. So you see its power at work, or you see its absence. And so the point being here is that when Joe Biden and John Tester took over, the sharks started circling the waters, and now we see the disastrous results. But I want to play a couple of sound bites here from Jim Acosta and a Democrat strategist. Oddly enough, Jim Acosta from CNN fact checked a Democrat strategist here. Jim Acosta and this other CNN guy were telling this Democrat strategist, look, even Hispanics support Donald J. Trump's policies. Listen in as this Democrat strategist is arguing with Jim Acosta, of all people.
Mass deportations has majority support in the United States and among Hispanic voters right now. It's recent polling. You can look it up. Maria, it is absolutely true. When we get off the air and you Google it, you're going to be embarrassed, but it's absolutely true.
I will send you the actual polling from pollsters who actually know how to poll on this
you're
issue.
You're going to be embarrassed.
I will send this to you after our session.
Yeah, so she's claiming, wait, I've got pollers who gave us the answer I wanted. I'll share that with you. But then there was another CNN segment, Inside Politics. By the way, both of these stories at thedailycaller.com, where a CNN panelist points out that more and more voters, including and especially Hispanic voters, are saying how the American people agree with Donald J. Trump's policies even more than they did in 2016.
To me, the biggest delta there, and the math, can you correct my math, is on the Hispanic number,
yeah.
53 to 17.
Yep.
That's remarkable. You see something similar that's happened with the whole conversation around tariffs in China. Things that Donald Trump talked about in 2016 were out of the bounds even within the Republican Party, and now they've entered in the mainstream. And when the top line number there is what, 62% supporting deportation? That's a remarkable number.
Yeah.
Okay, and why is that? Why is that now that more and more Americans, Hispanics, Black Americans, are supporting Trump? Because they saw the power at work under the Trump years, and they've seen the absence of American power in the Biden tester years. They have seen power, and they have seen the absence of power, and they want that American leadership back once again. All right, sorry, that was a lengthy rant. We've got a caller on the phone lines, a fellow veteran, John McCabe out of Billings. John, I hope you're still there. Sorry for the wait. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Aaron. The wait was worth it.
Yeah, well, what's on your mind this morning? Great to hear from you.
Yeah, great to hear from me, but this might be the last time as far as the shop out here is concerned on 51st. As you know, we run a small engine shop out here, but being the cost of business has skyrocketed the last few years, the unchecked insurance industry charges so much, fuel prices out of whack. I just paid for diesel at $3.58 a gallon, and the fact that Briggs & Stratton went through bankruptcy a couple years ago, and the people that bought it have taken away all of our retail for machines, the whole goods. And so without that extra income, we cannot sustain the shop. So our last day of operation, I'm sorry to inform the community, will be October 31st of this year.
Well, shoot. Well, that's tough news to hear because, yeah, you've had a great business out there, J&L Industries, on the west end of Billings. So we're going to have to come and see you. If you've got small equipment needing repair, generator service, anything like that. We're going to have to get out there and see you if you're not too busy, of course. Well, great veteran-owned business as well, John McCabe with J&L Industries. John, thanks for the call. Got to take a hard break here, and then we've got Jennifer Owen from the Billings City Council in the House.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. If life imitates art, then the congressional baseball game imitates Capitol Hill. On the field, as in the Capitol, the sides are divided. In the House and Senate chambers, the Republicans sit on one side, Democrats on the other. At the congressional baseball game, Republicans occupy the first base dugout. Democrats take up residence in the third base dugout. The teams play hard, for keeps even. They challenge their opponent across the aisle, or diamond. They try to score political points, in this case, runs. The annual bipartisan baseball tilt at Nats Park is emblematic of what unfolds daily under the Capitol Dome up the street. It's just that for one night a year, lawmakers take it outside, under the lights. Lawmakers even encounter protesters like they do in the halls of Congress. Only these demonstrators don't surface in the Cannon Rotunda. They vault a fence near the left field foul pole, only to be tackled in the grass by the U.S. Capitol Police. Republicans won this year's game 31-11. They argue that's a sign of things to come this fall. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hacking.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we actually have a very nice surprise for you here this morning. I think folks all across Montana are going to find this very interesting. Certainly our Billings listeners listening to KBUL are going to find this very interesting. I said we were going to have open phones for the next 2 hours. In just a few more minutes, we will have the phone lines open, anything and everything you want to talk about. But we forgot to put this on our calendar. We've got a great guest now with us. Jennifer Owen is on the Billings City Council. And, you know, you guys know I used to work for former U.S. Senator Conrad Burns. He also hired smart people like Jennifer Owen. She worked for Senator Conrad Burns as well. But I tell you what, if you want to talk city government issues, this is one of the smartest people. Any issue, really. One of the smartest people you can talk with. But Jennifer Owen, great to see you. Thanks for popping in.
Good morning. Thank you
for such kind words.
Well, it's the truth. You know, we don't need to just make stuff up around here. We aren't afraid to tell people, you know, what they don't want to hear, too. So this was interesting. You sent out a note. Man, this was over a week ago now. Tonight, the city council passed the budget for fiscal year 2025, and there's some public safety priorities that were put into this to this budget. Six new patrol officers. You've got detectives for family violence investigations. You've got three community safety officers. You've got seven more firefighters. And George Blackard and I were actually talking about this. George brought it up. He said, this is amazing. The city of Billings is going to hire some new public safety officers. And it's remarkable. Apparently, they found money to hire new public safety officers. We've been told for years, we don't have the money for public safety. If you want public safety, you got to pay extra for that. You have to pay more. And there are countless citizens in other cities across Montana that get fed the same line, even though they know these city budgets are growing. They have the money. They just don't want to prioritize public safety.
And that was really the question for us, is budgets are a question of priority. And so those of us who care deeply about public safety went in with a fine-tooth comb, and we found those dollars. Now, in fairness, we had a big boost, as you know, of property tax property valuations 2 years ago. Last year, the fiscal year that ends this month, we used those to pay the franchise fee settlement. We had a lawsuit here in the community, and that was about $2 million in the budget. So there was some space in the budget already, but we dug into questions about where overtime dollars, for example, are being spent, and could we do better by just hiring more people instead of having so many working on overtime? And we just made some tough decisions. The city budget is actually pretty, it's well supported. We have a lot of money in reserves. And so in some cases, we took money out of reserves rather than taxing people more. It's really just a question of digging in and doing the work to show the community what the priority is. And I think with a total of $68 million invested in public safety, we communicated that we're with the residents of Billings in making public safety the number one priority.
So you worked for a U.S. senator. Do I remember right? You have a law degree as well. You ran the Head Start program. You were a very innovative leader there. And so, yeah, you're somebody who's not just some, you know, out-of-state left-wing political activist group funded, you know, let's put some political hack on the city council. You're somebody who actually can dive in, dig into the details, and now you've got people like Scott Aspenlighter, yep, who's an engineer who knows how to look into the details, right, as well. And you're saying, hey, look, we can prioritize public safety here. Because how many towns across Montana, we see this in Bozeman. Oh, somehow they've got money for rainbow-colored crosswalks, but public safety, yeah, you got to pay extra for that.
And we just don't have to. The reality is, when you're willing to have tough conversations and make difficult decisions, you can do what's right by the people. And it's not that there aren't other things cities can and should do. It's a question of where we allocate the majority of our resources. So even in this budget, we still provided new funding for the Parks Department. We invested significantly in our infrastructure, our water, our sewer, our stormwater, so that we can have private sector development throughout the community. We can do this right. You just have to do the work. And I'm fortunate to have colleagues on City Council who'll do that with me.
And it's important to point out, you did this without raising taxes. Obviously, taxes are based off property valuation. So our tax system, obviously, is respond. If your taxes go up, it's because of our property tax system basing things on property values. But the point being is that you didn't raise tax rates, you didn't raise fees or charge more or new fees in order to fund this. You did this with existing dollars coming in, right?
Yeah. So to be clear, the city of Billings has a local charter, our local constitution, and that caps the number of property tax mills we can assess. So we were about at the cap last year, and we'll be about at the cap this year. Now, on the utility side, those fees did go up. We have some significant infrastructure needs that are inhibiting private sector growth. And so those have to be addressed. But utility fees are very separate from our general fund budget. So there was a story in the Gazette that said we raised utility fees to pay for public safety. That's absolute nonsense. We did not do that, and we cannot do that. But there are some fee increases in water and stormwater infrastructure to allow growth in the community. So in the interest of transparency, I just want to be clear.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting, and it's worth making that distinction because, yeah, I think they want to promote this narrative because they cheerlead practically every tax increase every time it's offered up. So I think it's worth pointing out that they'll try to push this narrative that, oh, well, the only reason you're getting more safety is because they charge you more in fees. No, that is a separate issue. That is a separate topic. But I think this is a good case study for, hey, if I'm in, you know, other towns across Montana, like Bozeman, like Missoula and elsewhere, where they're saying, well, Helena is a good example. Sure. Helena, who would have thought that a school levy would have failed in Helena?
Right. They used to be automatic.
I mean, Helena is home to the teachers union leadership. It's a very Democrat leaning county and city. And yet, wow, a massive failure for a school levy earlier this year. But I think that's a sign that, like, people have been taxed enough already. And they know, wait a minute, Helena Schools. Wait a minute, Helena County, Lewis and Clark County. We know you're making more money. You've got more people moving in here. You've got growth, which means there's more taxpayers. The property values are up. So we're all giving you more money already anyway. Yet that's not enough for you. And as Joe Dooling pointed out at the time, it comes down to prioritization. Yes. And you're showing in Billings now that, hey, if you have the right leadership that sets priorities, you can prioritize public safety.
We can. And what's really exciting is that we're beginning great work across local governments. So what we are hearing very loudly, certainly what I hear, is it's not just about public safety. More money is good. The public wants a strategy. They want to prioritize a jail expansion in Yellowstone County so that we can be a safer community, and they want it resourced. So City Council has done its part. We have put more officers on the street. And in addition to more officers on the street, we have also invested in prevention. We have partnered with the county to do innovative detention strategies where we don't yet have a jail expansion. And what we're hearing the public say very clearly is jail first, resource public safety, and then we can do all the other things that encourage quality of life and growth. But to hear the electorate come together so clearly and say, we expect you to prioritize and we will hold you accountable, that's just good government.
In fact, very interesting for our Flathead Valley listeners. This is a story in the Flathead Beacon right now. Whitefish City Council is approving property tax increases. So the Whitefish City Council doesn't think they're getting enough of your money. They're raising property taxes to give city employees an 8.5% pay increase. And then there's more in this. I think I saw a story a few days ago, too. Apparently, you know, because they're able to charge a resort tax.
Right.
But apparently their resort tax collections are down of late. So they're saying, well, we're not getting as much from the resort tax, so we're going to bilk our property taxpayers even more, which is just, of course, insane in a beautiful place like Whitefish. And so, but that also makes a point that you've got to support your local businesses. Mm-hmm. You've got to support local industry. Tourism is great. I'm not going to say don't do tourism, but you can't put all your eggs in the tourism basket, and you can't base your budget on something as fluctuating as things like tourism, right?
But you have to believe that the economy works. You have to believe that government has a limited role, and that role is to make a safe community and lay the foundational infrastructure for private sector growth. And when we do that, then everybody benefits. We get the kind of quality communities we want. We have enough revenue to sustain local governments. We don't have a revenue problem. We know that. We're able to do the things that we need to do for the people of Billings. It's about understanding that certain investments draw private sector investments versus just throwing good money after bad.
So I'm doing the show from Bozeman tomorrow. I'll be at the Hilton Garden Inn in Bozeman for the whole morning of the show tomorrow. I'm hoping that we get a chance also to run into, to talk a little bit about the urban camping issue while we're there. We're going to be covering the Montana Chamber event. But I'm hoping we can talk about that topic as well. But did you ever know Matt Makowiak?
Yes.
Yeah, he also worked for former Senator Conrad Burns. But he lives in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Austin, Texas is a very liberal city, very liberal city government. The Billings City Council is too liberal right now. But the Bozeman City Commission, very liberal. The Missoula City Council, completely off the deep end. But the reason why I mentioned Matt Makowiak in Austin is he has shown us that even in a very liberal city government, you can fight for change and you can actually make change. And so don't lose hope. And, but what he was able to do is reform their kind of no limits urban camping policy, and they were able to change that because people saw the destruction that this transient invasion was causing down in Austin. And one of the things he said is we advocated a treatment first approach, and because a lot of these people that are, you know, filling the streets, you know, we weren't treating the actual problem, and instead we were fueling the problem, basically.
Well, and I think you see the seeds of those conversations happening right here in Billings. So earlier this year, the city council partnered with the county to create a pre-arraignment holding cell. And the opportunity there is to create a detention incentive so that we can direct people into treatment programs. Right now, our officers say, hey, do you want treatment or do you want this ticket that you'll never follow up on? Now we can say, look, your choice is treatment or jail. What do you want? And I am hopeful that that's going to give us similar outcomes.
That's great. And I know you're partnering with the county to try to do more expansions of the jail, which is a big topic statewide as well. All right, stand by.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Giving a loan to a family member or friend can be a tricky situation and could raise just as many problems than trying to solve. Oftentimes, loans between family members, perhaps from an older person to their children or grandchildren, may be best with the help of financial advisors. Financial experts also say think through all the various scenarios that could arise after the loan is agreed to, like potentially causing damage to your relationship. Before you loan money, determine if it would put a strain on your finances, but if you have a sizable emergency fund, little or no debt, and a steady paycheck, making a loan might not be as difficult depending on the size. It's also important to think about how likely you are to get the money back. If the person is responsible about paying their bills and experiencing a one-time financial crisis, being paid back might not be an issue. However, if it's someone with a history of being financially irresponsible, that could be a bigger risk. So, loaner, beware. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I tell you what, there are some very smart, great leaders serving in city councils, city government, you know, across the state of Montana. And, you know, there's women like Sandy Vasica on the Missoula City Council. And she's one of like the only lone, she's the lone conservative on the Missoula City Council. In fact, I should see if she wants to come down and join us on Monday, because we're going to be doing the show live from Missoula. And then, of course, Jennifer Owen on the Billings City Council. I know you got to run here in a couple of minutes, but Jennifer, yeah, thanks again for popping in here. Let's see. What are you hearing from other city governments across Montana, and what are you hearing from them that other folks that are doing that's interesting, or what are they asking you about? Or if you got something else you want to talk about, feel free to. I just think it'd be interesting to hear what, because I know you're going to be in Bozeman for the Montana Chamber of Commerce event tomorrow as well.
That's right. So. You know, I think what we're all sort of wrestling with as cities are a couple of consistent themes. The biggest is, what do we do to make our communities safe and thriving? And really, there are challenges, major challenges, about how we deal with homeless populations and transient populations. And I think that the challenges that communities face are both in facilities, in, you know, structure, like how do we house people so that they can be successful in treatment programs, but also just how do we create the care that people need, and finding innovative ways to do that without just sort of throwing up our hands and saying, well, there's not enough money. I mean, we can't just sit on limited resources. We have to be innovative and say, people who are living on the streets are victimized by crime all the time. People who are living on the streets are creating crime victims. And so we have to deal with this. And I think I see a lot of commonalities across the state in communities really saying, we have to make our cities safe, and we have to deal with this population of people who are both vulnerable and often prey on the vulnerable.
Well, that's exactly right. And so, yeah, because if we have policies that are too pro-transient, which is what Missoula has done for decades now, well, you encourage this intrastate criminal element to move in. And who most likely bears the brunt of their crime? the people that struggle with homelessness.
That's exactly right.
So you're harming the very population that you claim to be helping. I know, like, in Kalispell, the city council, we had a message from Sam in Kalispell talk about, you know, efforts they're taking to, hey, we can you know, implement things like no camping in a right-of-way.
Right.
You know, like in Bozeman, for example, they'll throw their hands in the air and they'll say, well, we'd love to do something about these transients, but we can't because of this case, this Grants Pass case in Oregon. But you watch, even after the United States Supreme Court hopefully rules the right way on that case, Bozeman and Missoula will still come up with other excuses for why they've refused to crack down on this transient invasion. And I think, you know, the approach you're talking about is exactly right. Like, okay, some of these folks, we need to get them into treatment
right.
programs. And then we need to figure out ways to creatively stop this from happening. You know, like, okay, Bozeman, if you don't allow urban camping on that side of the street, well, why don't you say no parking on this side of the street?
Exactly.
There's things we can do, but it's almost as if they don't want to address these problems in some places.
Well, and I think you have to recognize that there are subpopulations that can be addressed differently. Yes, there are people who are vulnerable and victimized who need treatment and supportive housing. But there is unquestionably a criminal element in that unhoused population that has to be addressed strictly and strongly. They need to be chased out of communities and told they're not welcome here. I am really pleased that the Yellowstone County Commissioners are working on a jail expansion. I hope we'll see that to the voters soon. But in the meantime, we have partnered on a short-term holding facility, a very quick place that no matter what you do, you're going to jail for a night. Because we want to send the signal that criminal elements are not welcome in Billings, Montana any longer. If you are coming here to party for the weekend, live on the streets, create crime and havoc, prey on people, cause property damage, you are no longer welcome here. And I think we're going to see a real sea change once we make that very clear. And that allows the private sector, the social sectors, the nonprofits to then focus on the truly vulnerable. I think by considering subpopulations in a larger social problem, you can be more targeted in your resources and be more effective.
No, that's so great. And I know other communities are struggling with full jails,
right.
jails at capacity. And so they're going to be looking to it. Okay, how do we address this? And you're right. I remember when we, even several years ago when we were talking about, you know, the jail is full. And so here you have men and women in law enforcement risking their necks to go out there and catch these bad guys just to be told, put them back out
right.
there. No room at the jail. And it's like there has to be consequences. And if you have consequences sooner for lesser crimes,
exactly.
you're more likely to stop these people from getting involved in bigger crimes. And so you also help that young person that's struggling with something by having some consequences there. But also, I remember we'd had listeners call into the show. They're like, look, we don't need a Taj Mahal.
Mm-mm.
Just build something to put this surge of criminals into when you need to. And so a temporary facility is a perfect response to that.
That's exactly right. And so that's really what I hope people hear statewide is here in Billings, we are no longer messing around. We are investing in capital infrastructure. We are investing in the police officers and the resources. We're investing in prevention. We have looked at this systemically. We have looked at our courts to help them operate more efficiently. We are turning the tide against this sort of wanton thumbing your nose at the criminal justice system. We are changing that. And I want everyone to hear that. And I want people to learn from it. And I want people to come be a part of it because things are changing here in Billings.
But let's be honest. If Joe Biden and John Tester are reelected in November, law enforcement, city leaders in places like Billings, you're still standing in front of a failed siphon at the St. Mary's, trying to hold the water back if that flood still comes across our southern border.
We absolutely need top-to-bottom cooperation. So I am really pleased that on our local efforts here, we have had collaboration from the county, from the state. But the feds absolutely have to be a partner. They have to do their jobs just like we have to do our jobs. And so every election matters, and this year is just as critical.
Hey, well, we'll see you in Bozeman tomorrow for
Thanks,
the Montana
Aaron.
Chamber of Commerce event. If he's listening, I see Adam Gilbertson from
yep.
RDO Equipment is going to be there. Adam, you got to come join me on the show tomorrow. I'm going to be set up the whole morning right outside the entry to the Chamber event at the Hilton Garden Inn in Bozeman. So our listeners can come see us, any event attendees. come and see us. But I think we're going to get some big business news tomorrow as well.
Should be a very exciting day in Bozeman tomorrow.
All right. Well, I know you got a meeting to run off to. Thanks for dropping in. Enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
All right. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about. You know what else I like about what Jennifer's talking about is if you get folks help, you can give them a new start in life, a second chance. How many of you out there, or maybe there's somebody listening right now that you want a new start? You want kind of a second chance in life. You know, you want maybe start a new career. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't like to smile because you're embarrassed by your teeth. And you don't just have one bad tooth or a couple of bad teeth that, you know, can be fixed here and there. You've got a whole set of teeth that are failing on you. And, you know, it just, you like I said, you don't want to smile. It makes you more of a shy person. Maybe you're less willing to go apply for a new job because you're embarrassed by your smile. First off, you shouldn't be. Get out there. But second, if you are, let me tell you about Yellowstone Family Dental. They specialize in dental implants. Not only do they specialize in it, they do world-class dentistry with these dental implants. They can get you dental implants that that people travel from all across the United States to get. And I'm talking, these dental implants are so good that you are going to be amazed at that new smile you will get. Not only that, but if you're somebody who uses dentures and you hate using dentures, they can give you these dental implants that when you go out for dinner, you can order a steak dinner. You can bite into a steak dinner because of the incredible dental implants they make. Check out MontanaDentalImplants.com, MontanaDentalImplants.com. All right, let's see. Who do we got on the phone lines here? Is Frank on line one or is Frank on line two? Looks like our producer is chatting with whoever is on line two. Okay, Frank must be on line one. Let's go to Tom in Belgrade. Tom, what's on your mind?
Oh, you betcha. All I wanted to do is talk about urban camping.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, I live in Belgrade. We're only 9 miles away from Bozeman. We do not have any kind of problem. Our officers do a great job.
Yeah. And the city crafted some good, reasonable policies. Isn't it amazing? Like, why does Bozeman still have the urban camping problem, but Belgrade is literally right down the road, doesn't have the problem? It's like city leadership matters, huh?
Oh, you ain't kidding. No, our officers and, the city council doing a great job. And, you know, they came in, they get removed. They're not allowed to.
That's right.
And I don't know why they ever let it go so bad in Bozeman, but there they are.
Because they support the invasion on the Bozeman City Commission, just like Biden and Tester support the illegal invasion.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The videos are real, and they're played in context. Green Jean-Pierre just goes out there and spews the party line also. But let me tell you something. Cheap fake videos or an AI deepfake, as some have even suggested, it didn't make Biden say Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals. Cheap fake videos didn't make Biden say we are in, you know, the oldest truth to be self-evident, all men and women are created by, oh, you know, the thing. That wasn't a cheap fake video. It didn't generate the Hur report that said Biden has significant memory issues, didn't even know, was I still vice president in 2009? And all the other mental lapses that he's had, you know, in that interview with her.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text SPIRAL to 424. 424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPIRAL to 42424. That's Spiral to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Housing, that most basic need that any successful social system must provide, is shaping up as a huge failure point in our economy, especially in Montana. All of us can see the problem, it's just crazy expensive, especially in the faster growing parts of the state where economic opportunities are the most plentiful. How expensive? Statewide, housing prices today are 60% higher than the beginning of 2020, and rents have ballooned as well. Median home prices in Bozeman now exceed prices in Seattle, approaching $1 million. The pressure on housing is showing everywhere, from property tax bills to homeless encampments. We've dug ourselves a deep hole when it comes to addressing housing, no question. Perhaps we should stop digging. The consensus on what's wrong with housing quickly breaks down when it comes to agreeing on solutions. And in a sector of the economy already layered with programs, subsidies, tax breaks, and regulations from all levels of government, the notion that adding a few more will fix the problem falls flat. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brett's RV.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. What do you guys want to talk about? 406-294-0970. I was going to go to Frank in the in Kalispell, but looks like we lost Frank during the break. Frank, call back in if you want. If you call right now, I should be able to sneak you on. Same goes for you. You can call 406-294-0970. And jump on the phone lines across the state of Montana as well, or send us a quick message on our Montana Talks app if you get something you want us to share. Let's see here. Man, I know we're getting short on time this hour of the show. What should we talk? I thought President Trump really summed up. So President Trump was in Wisconsin, the battleground state of Wisconsin, and really, I mean, the big story is he went after Joe Biden for this latest mass amnesty announcement. Joe Biden and this mass amnesty announcement that came out this week. But I think this 20-second soundbite from Donald J. Trump, Fox News Radio snagged this from the Trump rally in Racine, Wisconsin. And I think this soundbite really sums up what is the 2024 presidential race.
Under crooked Joe Biden, the world is in flames. Our border is overrun. Inflation is raging. Europe is in total chaos. The Middle East is exploding. Iran is emboldened. China is on the march. And the worst, most incompetent, most corrupt president in history is going to drag us into World War III.
Yeah, there you go. See, there's two ways to measure power. You see it at work, and you see its absence. We are on the brink of World War III under this current administration. All right, let's go to Anthony in Kalispell. Anthony, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm super proud of Billings making forward movement with their homeless population, setting a standard. You know, I've been through Bozeman a lot, and the street camping is outrageous. And in Kalispell, there's just no repercussions. There's nothing. You know, they've got the warming shelter, and the people around it love it, but the businesses don't. And the businesses are the ones suffering.
Yeah. They've had people defecating on their doorstep, vandalism, crime, intimidation, all sorts of crazy stuff around that warming shelter, right?
Yeah, and it's just not meeting the mark of what the people said that it would be and how it would be a place of great help for the homeless people. But in reality, a lot of these homeless people, the system's so easy, they don't care to get help because or better their situation because the handouts are there.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you ever get yourself out of that situation if they make it so easy to stay in that situation? And that's why they're not truly helping people oftentimes. I know, you know, they're doing important work at homeless shelters across the state. Some do better jobs than others, but if we provide too many services, we're actually not helping. We're actually making the problem worse. So I know that's why they're trying to bring about some reforms there, and they've been having these town hall meetings. Well, Anthony, great to hear from you. Hopefully we will see you in Kalispell Tuesday morning. I'm going to be broadcasting live from Kalispell on Tuesday. We'll keep you posted on that live show in the days ahead. All right, you know, you talk about, you know, the, you know, getting out and about. I know some people are like, you know, I really want to go for a hike, but I probably wouldn't go hiking by that warming shelter because, you know, there might be some crime involved there. But some of you think, man, I'd love to go for a hike in the mountains, especially with this nice weather that's coming up this weekend. Love to get out golfing, you name it. But I got that pain in my knees, that pain in my hips, my pain in my back. Well, let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They are now boots on the ground here in Montana. They are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. That's where they take the healing properties that are already in your body, put them directly into those achy joints. You can call QC Kinetics right now for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.